Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yom. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now studying Masachet Sotah on Daf Tet Vav Amud Bet at the top of the Amud, the second Mishnah of the second Perek, continuing with the process of the woman's ceremony of Sotah. Hayam Evim Pili Shel Cheres. He would bring a pot or a dish made of earthenware. This is the husband would bring. He would take water from the basin. We will see a dissenting opinion about that in the Gemara. Take a half a log. I figure that's around 6 ounces or so. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Revi'it. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed and said only a Revi'it. Let's say about 3 ounces. Kashem Shemama Eit Bechtav Kach Meit B'mayim. Rabbi Yehuda Shita, as we will see in the next podcast, is to have less written in the Megillah. Similarly, he also has less water. Nechnas Leichal Ufanali Mino. Then the coin would go into the Beit HaMikdash and turn to his right. Umakom hayasham amalama. There was a corner there where it was 1 amah squared. Tavlashal shayish v'tabata takvua b'kshumagbia. There was a tile, a marble tile that had a ring in it that he would lift up. V'notel afar mitachteha, and he would take dirt from underneath. V'noten kadesh shir alamayim, and he put enough on the water so that it would be seen on the water. Wouldn't dissolve. Shinemar, the proof text, and that passage tells us both that the dirt has to be from the floor of the Mishkan, and that we'll extend it to also the Mikdash, as we will see, and also that it has to be appearing on the water, as we will also see in the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara, first thing that it deals with is the vessel that's brought. Tana, Pili Shocheres Chadasha, de Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with the Tanakama, or the Chachamim in our Mishnah, who said nothing about the vessel being new. He said it has to be a brand new vessel, never used before. My Tam, Rabbi Shmuel, why does he say that? Gamar Kli Kli Mitzora. He learns an analogy of the use of the word Kli in our Pasuk, and the word Kli in the context of a Mitzora. Malan Cheres Chadasha, Afkan Cheres Chadasha. Just like with the Mitzora, it has to be a Kli that was never used, the one that they put the water and the blood in together. Similarly here, Hatamanal, and how do we know that in the case of Mitzora it has to be used? Techtiva Shachata Tzipor Achat El Kli Cheres Amayim Chayim, that he slaughters the bird, one bird goes free, the other bird is slaughtered over a earthenware vessel on spring water. Mayim Chayim. So, ma mayim chayim shalon asta ben malacha. Just like mayim chayim, one of the halachot is that any time you use mayim chayim, it has to have never been used for anything else, just come right out of the spring. Af kli shalon asta ben malacha. So, if that's the case, the vessel, which is juxtaposed to the mayim chayim, also has to be never used before. So, imala on mayim chayim, afkan mayim chayim. So, if that's the case, take it one step further and say that the water to be used for the sot has to be mayim chayim from a spring, as opposed to from the basin that was drawn water. So the answer is Rabbi Shmuel Achinami. You're right. Rabbi Shmuel actually does hold that position about Me Sota. Rabbi Yochanan Me Kior. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Me Mayanhein. Rabbi Yochanan said that we use the basin. Rabbi Shmuel says the water in the basin is Me Mayan. Chacham Omer Misharmi Moten. He said no. The Chacham say it was from any kind of waters, whether they're spring waters or from some other source. And so Rabbi Shmuel, everybody would agree, you take it from the basin. Question is, what kind of water is in the basin? Now, Ika Lemifrach, we can challenge Rabbi Shmuel as follows. Ma'ala Mitzora Shekein Taun Eitz Eretz Vezovish Nitolat. Mitzora is not a model because Mitzora has all sorts of other appurtenances associated with it. The hyssop and the cedar branch and the red thread. So Rabbi Makra Bechli Cheres. The answer that Rabbi Shmuel, to explain to Rabbi Shmuel, is that in the context of the Sota, it says you put it in a Kli Cheres, the assumption being Kli Shamar to the Hakfar, a Kli that I've already mentioned, meaning it's a reference back to the Kli Cheres in the case of Mitzora. Just like that one's new, this one's new. Amarava Loshanu Elishlun Tachum Panav. But the Rabban's position that say an old one is okay is only true if it hasn't become blackened by use. Nachmu Panav Psulin. But if it becomes blackened by use, then it's invalid. My time. What's the reason for that? Dumya Demayim, because they agree that the Kli has to be like the water. Ma Mayim Shalonishtanu Af Kli Shalonishtanet. Even though they may allow for non-spring water, nonetheless, it has to be water that's still water. It hasn't become changed. In this case, you have an earthenware pot that's now blackened from use. It's no longer has the original color. Now, Bari Rava, Nitachmu, now that we accept the principle that if it becomes blackened, it's invalid, what happens if it becomes blackened? V'chziran atokiv shana eshet namnu, and then you refire it, so it burns the black away and restores its old luster and its old color. Not exactly luster, but its old color. Mahu. Miyamarin came into idchu. Idchu, do we say that since it was once rejected, it's a rejected vessel and can never again be used for mesota? Odilma came into Hador. Perhaps now that it's come back, it's okay. Really, the question is, how do we view this vessel? If we view it like a kli mizbeach or a kli sharet, a vessel that's going to be used for that, then when there's a general halacha about dechia, something that's associated with the mikdash, once it's rejected, it can never be used again. Or if it's simply a vehicle for bringing the water, right now it's looking good again. We could use it. Toshma Balazomer, Eitz Eres Vezovushnitolat, all of those appurtenances used for the Mitzora. Shivshil Mahen Kupatola Chorav. If you used it and tied it onto your basket and threw it over your back, psulin, they're invalid. Meaning that once you use them in an invalid way, they never can become valid again. Hatam Hadri Mivshati, but there you could straighten them out again, and they'd be the proper size, which seems to indicate that once one of these kind of things is invalidated, it can never become valid again, even though you physically fix it and restore it to its original pristine state. The answer is no. Hatam de iklufi klufi. There we're talking about a case where some of the plant actually got peeled off. Some of the cedar wood got peeled off, and it really cannot be restored. Okay, the Mishnah said, Nichnas Leichal Ufanali Mino, the Kohen would go in and go to his right. My time, huh? Marco, Pinocha Taponello, you Allah Derech Yimin. There's a general principle in the Mikdash. Whenever you make a turn, your first turn is to the right. Now, the rewarding here is all your turns should be to the right. But the only way to understand that properly, especially when you're going around in a square, is that your first turn is to the right. Because think about it. Let's say when you go up the Kevesh. You go up the Kevesh from the south side going north. Your first turn is to the right. You go to the east. But from then on, every other turn you make is to the left. Otherwise, you fall off the Mizbeach. The same thing here. When you walk into the Heichal, you take a right turn. You're now on the corner. The only way to continue is to take a left turn. All right. Makom Hashem Amad. There was a location on the right side, meaning on the north side in the Heichal, on the northeast side, where there was this marble tile. Tan Rabbanan. Umin Hafar Sheyah. The text says you have to take from the dirt that's at the floor of the Mishkan. Yachol yitaken machutz v'yachnis. This is our Mishnah's approach, and the Tanakama in this Braita says, I might think that you could put the dirt together and bring it into the Mikdash and there put it with the water. Tamalomar Makarka Mishkan. Therefore it says it has to be on the floor of the Mishkan. So Ibakarka Mishkan Yachol Achpor Bakar Dumot. So then I might think you have to come into the Mishkan and start digging. Tamalomar Asher Yehiyah. In other words, it has to be there. Haketzad, yesham have. If it's sitting there, fine. Ein sham tein sham. If there isn't, then put some dirt there and then pick it up. Tanya idach, we have another braita which presents an opposing opinion. Says actually the opposite is that he would put the earth together outside and bring it in and drop it on the floor and pick it up. Now, Isa ben Yehuda Omer, no, Karka Mishkan is for a different purpose. Lahavi, Karka Shilo Novi Givonu Veitolamim. It's there to include not just the Mishkan and the Midbar, but also the Mishkan when it was a structure in Shiloh, and the temporary ones in Novi Givon, the Bamagdola. And that's a problem by itself, and Veitolamim, and the Beit HaMikdash, that use the dirt there also. Now that's Isa ben Yehuda. Isa Manat, which means he says that, yeah, you could fix it from the outside and bring it in. The Karka Mishkan is just there to say any one of the Mishkans, as it were. Yisra Menachem Omer Einot Tzarich. You don't need that. Uma betuma kala luchilei kakatuv. After all, when it comes to regular tuma, the text did not distinguish between walking into the Mishkan in Shiloh and the Mishkan, the Midbar, and the Beit HaMikdash. It's all the same liability. So here we're dealing with a defilement of a married woman. And trying to clear that up, certainly we're not going to distinguish. So certainly the same ceremony will apply. So imken maltam lekarka mishkan. So therefore, why, according to Isma Menachem, why did it say bekarka mishkan? Shlavim yitoch kupato, that you don't bring it from the outside and bring it in, which is our Tanakama's opinion. All right, so we see that there is a machloket as to whether the text specifically directs you to bring it in from the outside or away from that you have to pick it up from earth that's on the floor already. Now, Ibayalahu, Ein Sham Afar Maushiten Efer. What if there is no dirt there? Instead of bringing it in, like some of these opinions said you can't, can you pick up ashes that are in the Mishkan and use them? We're not asking this according to Beit Shammai. To Amri Lamatzino Efer Shekaru Afar. They say Efer, ashes, and Afar, dirt, are never mixed together. They're never called the same thing. And that has to do with the interpretation of a pasuk that we're going to see a little bit later on about the Parah Aduma. The question really is only in the context of, Beit Shammai's discussion is about, is primarily about Kisui Adam, about whether you could use ashes to cover up dam. Beit Shammai says you can't because Afar and Efer are never called the same thing. Now, the question is, according to Beit Hillel, who say you may cover up dam of a chaya and an oaf with Efer. What would they say the same thing about sota? Could you take ashes and put it into the water instead of dirt? Even though we may say that ashes could be called afar, nonetheless, here there's an extra statement that it says has to be the floor of the Mishkan, which really denotes earth. Maybe that word Bekarka Mishkan is there for one of the earlier drashot, that you bring it in, or that it includes other Mishkano, the other Mikdashim. In other words, it's not there to tell you earth. So we have this famous braita where Rabbi Shmuel said there's three places where the text uproots, where the halacha uproots the text. HaTorah Amra Be'afar. When the Torah talks about Kisui Adam, it says you have to use dirt. V'halacha b'chol davar. But the halacha is you can use anything. HaTorah Amra Be'tar. The Torah said, we said this in Nazir, that a Nazir cannot use a razor. V'halacha b'chol davar. The halacha is he can't use anything to cut his hair. He can't even use a comb. HaTorah Amra Sefer. When it talks about a get, it calls it a sefer. V'halacha b'chol davar. You could even write it, according to some opinions, on an animal, on a leaf, or whatever. And V'im'ita, if it were really true that you could use ashes for the sota ceremony, lechshav namihai, so you should say, here is an example, the Torah said afar, and in reality you can use other stuff. So the answer is Tana v'shiur, that braita is incomplete. Now Tana v'shiur is a way of explaining an omission as not being meaningful. In other words, you have a list. If the list is comprehensive and the item you're looking for is not there, it tells you it's not true. But if it's a non-comprehensive list and just several examples, then the fact that your item is not there doesn't prove anything. The only way you can prove that it's not a comprehensive list is to show that there's something else that's missing. So my share to high share, what else is left off that this should be left off? Shear mitzora, the issue of shaving a mitzora. D'tanya, hayom yamashi galachet kol se'aro. This is now the second shaving. He shaves all of his hair, klal. Et roshavet zankanovet gabotinav. This we dealt with a lot in Nazir. He shaves his head, and he shaves his beard, and he shaves his eyebrows. Prat, those are all examples. But kol se'aro yigalech, that says all of his hair he shaves. Chazar v'chalal, what's the rule? Klal u'pratu klal. Et da'an elekana prat. The rule is that whenever you have a general statement, and in the middle several examples, the examples guide the application. And there has to be something excluded. Ma'aprat m'furash makom kinus seyar. Just like all three examples, the head, the beard, and the eyebrows are places where hair grows, vin nir e, and they're all things that are generally exposed. People don't walk around with veils over themselves. Af kol makom kinus seyar v'nir e. So according to the Mikra, and on a proper interpretation, it should only mean that you shave hair that's in an area that hair normally grows and that's generally exposed. So ma rabbi ser haraglaim. So what's being included? Hair on the legs, when you know, in a society in which the legs aren't fully covered. So my mi'et, so what's being excluded? Mi'et the beit hashach yudachulei gufa. Everything else on the body, the armpits and everything else, are not exposed. V'hilchatam galeach ketalat. But the halacha is you shave like a pumpkin. You shave the entire body. In other words, here's another example where a proper read of the text leads you to the conclusion that you only shave part of the body, and the halacha is you shave the entire body. Ditnan, ba'al hakifa tamitzora. This is now the first shaving. If you're going to shave the mitzora, mavir taro kol basoro, you put a razor over his entire body. Tani sefer, yomashvi magalcho. And then in the sefer it says that on the seventh day you shave him, tiglachat shnia, kidilachat vishonah. The second shaving, which is what that pasuk was about, is exactly like the first one. So the second shaving, which according to the pasuk should be selected parts of the body, and the halacha is it's full parts of the body. So you see that mitzora is not on our list, so don't be surprised that the ashes for the sota aren't on the list either. Rachamayitzcha, kikohashiv, dalacha, okevet mikra. That omission is not an omission. Why? Because the text, the Braita is only listing things where the halacha uproots the clear reading of the text. The text says sefer, we use anything. The text says afar, we use anything. How kevad midrabanan here? Here it's uprooting the hermeneutic interpretation of the rabbanan, and saying that even though the proper rabbinic hermeneutic interpretation would lead to selected hair, the halacha is all of hair. So that doesn't fit the Braita. It's not an omission because it wouldn't fit there. Papa Marki Chasha Chashiv Halacha Okevet VeOkeret. Papa says, no, we're talking about a situation where the halacha uproots and subverts what the text says. The text says you got to use a sefer, here use something else. The text says you got to use dirt, here use something else. The text says you've got to use, you cannot use a razor, here we say you can't use anything. So it's uprooting that statement. How Kevin Mosefet here, it's not uprooting anything, it's just adding to it and saying, not only do you have to shave what the Torah said, there's other stuff you have to shave. So it wouldn't fit the list either. Vashem Marhamat Nita Mani, Rabbi Shmuel, he has a different explanation. He says, you know, that Braita is authored by Rabbi Shmuel, the Darish Klal Uprati. In Rabbi Shmuel's school, they use the Klal Uprat system to interpret, and therefore, he really would come to the conclusion that Mosefet does not shave his entire body. He shaves only those parts. Kedalat Mani, who is the author of the Mishnah that says you shave him clean, like a pumpkin? Rabbi Kiva, that's Rabbi Kiva, the Darish, Ribu Yomiyuti. He learns the Ribu Yomiyut system, which we learned in Nazir, and therefore his reading of the text comes to the conclusion of shaving the entire body, as we'll see in a second, and therefore the halacha is consistent with the reading of the text and isn't uprooting it. So according to neither opinion would the Mitzara fit on that in that Braita, either because, like Rabbi Shmuel, in reality you don't shave the entire body, or according to Rabbi Akiva, the drasha would lead you to shaving the entire body, and that's the halacha too. Here we go. Vayabai Mashvi Galachet Kol Saro Riba. That means all of it. And Roshodik Zakanovat Kabatinav Miyat. Those are just there to tell you that there's something being excluded. And then at the end you have another general inclusive statement. Chazar v'riba, riba umiyat v'riba, riba hakol. What's the rule? When you have ribui, miut, ribui, everything's included. Only one thing's excluded. As opposed to klal uprat uklal, where the prat guides the application of the klal, and a lot of things could be excluded. So riba de kule gufa, what's included? All the hair. My miut, so when one thing's got to be excluded, what's the most likely thing to be excluded? The least likely that we would say you have to shave? Miut sarah shebetocha chotem, nose hairs. Right, which are not seen by anybody, and they're not really on the body, etc. So that means Rabbi Akiva, the way he learns the pasuk, comes up to the conclusion that you would shave the entire body, and therefore there is no inconsistency there. Therefore, we have several different ways defeated the idea that Metzora is a legitimate omission, and therefore the omission of Sota is not meaningful. We're left now with saying that there's really only three cases where Alahau Kevet Mikra. What about the using something besides dirt like ashes for the Sota? Mayavi Allah Toshmanav Ahuna Ba'ashi Amarav. Ein sham afar, if there isn't dirt there, mevi rakuvit yerak umakadesh. You bring some rotted vegetable, and you use that and put that in. And so it seems that you can use ashes also. So velohi rakuvit yerak udahave afar. The answer is that's not the same, because rot of vegetables really is dirt. Afalohave afar, but ashes, which is something of the result of burning, is not at all dirt, and therefore it wouldn't work. So therefore we come to the conclusion that according to Beit Hillel, we may not allow dirt. All right, the end of the Mishnah said that you put the dirt on the water, kedeshi ra'el amayim, so it should be seen on the water. Meaning that the cup of water, before you're going to put the Megillah in to erase it, you have to see the dirt on it. Tanu Rabbanan, shlosha tzuchin shiyei ra'u. There are three things that are mixed together where you have to be able to see, or the three things where you have to be able to see the component that might otherwise disappear. What are they? Afar sota, the dirt here in the water. Ve'efer para, the ashes that are mixed with the water for paraduma. And rok yivama, the spittle of the yivama, which he spits on the ground. We saw this in the 12th parak of Yivamot a while ago. Shor b'shmuel amru, he adds one more, afdam tzipor, the blood of the bird that goes on the water in the Metzora purification ceremony. Now, my tov b'shmuel, where did he get that from? Dichtiv, v'taval otam b'dam hatzipor. It says you dip the hyssop into the blood of the of the bird and the water. So you see that when the blood and the water are mixed, you're still referring to it as blood. V'tanya b'dam, yachol b'dam v'lo b'mayim. I might think you just dip it in the blood. Tam lo b'mayim, therefore it says you dip it in the water. Yimayim yachol b'mayim v'lo b'dam. If it just said dip it in the water, I might think only in the water, not the blood. Tam lo b'dam. So haketzad, how do you have one thing that's called dam and mayim at the same time? V'mayim shadam tziporni karbayin. You have to have the amount of water that when you shech the bird, the blood will still be recognizable in there, but it won't be all blood. There'll still be water. V'chama, the answer is revi'it. One revi'it of water and the blood of this bird, and they mix in the proper way, so it could probably be called water and properly be called blood. Now, Rabbanan, what do Rabbanan do with that pasuk? Why do they disagree? They say, ha'hula gufei. That pasuk is just there to tell you that you put dam and mayim together. Ta'achikam rachmana, at bil b'dam of mayim, the Torah is saying, dip it in the blood, dip it in the water. Rabbi Shmuel says, "Im ken lifto rachman of a taval bahem, then why doesn't it just say dip into them? Because I already told you previously that you're going to put the dam and the mayim together. But dam and mayim lamali, why did the Torah say dip it in the blood, dip it in the water? So the answer is l'nikar. It's there to make to tell you that this the dam and the mayim have to both be recognizable in this, and you can't have so much water that it dilutes the blood, and or so much blood that you can't recognize water." Rabbanan, ikat of Rachman of a taval behem. Rabbanan said, you can't say dip it in them. Havmena haylechudeh v'haylechudeh. I think that you don't even mix them together. You dip it in blood and dip it in water in two separate vessels. Therefore, it said dip it in the blood and the water that you have to mix them, but not that they have to be recognizable. Rabbi Shmuel says, La'arvan k'rachrin aktiv. That I've already got another pasuk, that I have to mix them together. I've got, Shechata tzipor achat al klicher samayim chayim. I shecht it over a vessel that has water in it. Rabbanan, imiahi, that pasuk alone, avimena lishchate samuch lamana. I might think el klicheres means you shecht it near the vessel, continue levridin and kabli the dam b'monachrina, and then take the veins and get the blood out into another vessel. I don't know that it goes into that vessel. So kamash mala, and therefore I have our pasuk that says I have to mix them together. But I don't know that they have to be seen. Rabbi Shmuel says this second pasuk tells me that they have to be mixed together. And therefore the first pasuk says they have to be both distinct and recognizable, blood and water. Now, Barmina Rabbi Yirmiyam Rabbi Zeira, he asked the following question. Let's say that the bird is really big, so much so that revit mayim, you don't see any water there. But let's say it's a tiny bird, so that the water overcomes it. There's not no you can't see the blood. Mahu. So didn't I tell you to stay within the bounds of halacha? Remember the way the rabbanon work. The rabbanon measured a particular kind of bird called a tzipor dror, which is ein l'chagdolah shvendechad amayim, ein l'chagtanah shinchem neamayim. They are never so big that the amount of blood that they have will render a revit mayim indiscernible, and they're never so small the revit mayim would make their blood indiscernible. Alright, now we get back to Sota, Tana Rabbanan, Hikdim Afar Lamayim. Let's say, remember the halach is you come in with the water and then you put the dirt in. What happens if you put the dirt in first? Pasul. Rabbi Shimon Machshur, Rabbi Shimon says it's okay. Maitam Rabbi Shimon, because the clear read is that the order is you come in with the water and put the dirt in. So it would seem that if you put the dirt in first, it's Pasul. Why does Rabbi Shimon say it's okay? Tichtiv lakula tamemi afar sefata chatat. And this takes us back to Rishamai, that in the context of Paraduma, it says that he takes the water, and then he takes from the afar sefata chatat, from the dirt of the burning of the chatat. When you burn an animal, you don't get dirt, you get ashes, and it's afer. V'tanu Rabbi Shimon v'chi afarhu, v'alo aferhu. Shinakatu b'mashmo, so the text deliberately used an odd word here, afar instead of afer, dirt instead of ashes, the doni menu xereshava, to be used as xereshava to sota. Nemar kan afar v'nemar lalan afar. Here it says afar, in the case of sota it says afar. Malan afar gabe mayim, just like in the case of sota, it's the dirt goes on top of the water. Afkan afar gabe mayim. Here also, the ashes, as it were, that we're calling afar, have to go on top of the water. But just like here in Paraduma, if you put the ashes in first, kasher, we'll have to see how he knows that. Similarly, in Sota, if you put the dirt in first, then put the water, it's kasher. And how do I know that in Paraduma, if you put the ashes in first, it's okay? The answer is ktiv alav. Right, we saw in the pasuk that you put the ashes on top. Alma Eifa Bereisha is you put the water on top, so you see the ashes are first. Timaim Chaim El Keli, you see that the water is in the vessel. Alma Maim Bereisha, so you see the water is first. So Haketzad, Ratzazenotain, Ratzazenotain. Rav Shimon says the text throws you both curveballs to say you could put this one first or that one first. Which means that if then the text used this odd word afar to direct you to sota, it said therefore the same thing with sota. If you put the dirt in first, you yotze. It's okay. Not yotze. It's not puzzle. So Rabbanan, what do Rabbanan do with that? They say El Keli Dafka. When it says El Kli Cheres, that you have to put the water in first, that's Dafka. Alav, why does it say you put it on top? That's arvan, that you have to mix them together. You can't just have ashes floating on top. You have to mix them together. Ve'ema alav dafka al klish techayutan makli. Why don't I say the opposite? Maybe alav is dafka. In other words, maybe you have to put the water on top of the ashes. And it says al kli that they have to be... not that the water has to be there, rather to say that the water has to come directly out of the spring and it can't be drawn and then put in. The answer is Mamatsinu b'chol makom machshir l'mala. And it's since in my working with these psukim, I'm not going to come to the conclusion you can do either one. I'm going to come to the conclusion one must be on top. Therefore, I use the following rule: Mamatsinu b'chol makom. What's the general rule? Machshir l'mala. The thing which is machshir, which makes this thing now fit for use, which in the case of the sota is the dirt, and the case of the paraduma is the ashes, that is the machshir. And the machshir is always on top. All right? Safkan machshir l'mala. Therefore, I know that in the case of sota, the dirt has to come on top, because the dirt is what makes the water workable. As the first I bring water, then I put dirt, that makes it ready to accept the Megillah. Once the Megillah is mixed, then the water is going to be able to check her and demonstrate her, hopefully, her Tahara. In any case, we've completed up to the end of Tat Zayin Amud Bet. We'll begin with the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph in the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.